Just Interesting podcast. The podcast's not too interesting, it's not boring, it's just interesting enough. And with me today are Alex.
Hello, Martin. How's it going?
All right, thanks, mate. All right. I mean, we're living in the end times, aren't we? We're drenched in COVID-19 and we're saturated with police brutality. But other than that, everything's great, right?
I'm excited to see what next month has to offer. I'm hoping for aliens, but I have a feeling they're going to wait till the end of the year for that one.
I reckon so. And Robin, how are you, mate?
All right, thanks, Martin. I've had a coffee, my first coffee of the whole lockdown.
Officially. Really?
Yeah.
You're feeling too tired.
Need a bit of a pepping up, yeah. And so far it's working. If I crash out and you can't hear anything from me half through this podcast, it might be because I've just had my coffee coma. Set in.
This is your first coffee of the lockdown.
Of the lockdown, yeah.
That's mad.
Is this why you spilt it all over yourself?
It may be why. Yeah, we just recorded our Patreon exclusive podcast, and it was delayed slightly by me spilling my drinks all over myself. So,
Well, now you've mentioned it, Robin. What is our Patreon podcast about?
It is about the cheery subjects we were just discussing, the police brutality in America, and I think generally just a discussion about the police brutality and the role of the police in our society.
Yeah, it's not just about brutality.
Yeah, so if you want to escape the problems of the day, then go check out our Patreon exclusive podcast.
We'll give you more problems to answer. And thank you everyone who's currently supporting our Patreon as well. It's just amazing to have your support, and thank you. I mean, there's nothing more to say than that. But thank you very much. I hope you're enjoying the what we have to offer over on the Patreon, and there'll be more to come.
Exactly. Yeah. Thanks so much, everyone.
So today, just a quick running order. We're going through some weird news, what we learned this week, and then we'll go into our main topic, which is about conspiracy theories. I know a lot of you guys at home have been asking specifically for us to cover conspiracy theories, and so we thought we'd cover the topic as a whole, which would be interesting to see if we can do. But we're covering specifically whether conspiracy theories are on the decline, and if so, why this might be the case. And then, of course, we'll finish up with a quiz as always. But first, what have you guys learned this week?
Sorry, Robin, after you.
I was going to say, Alex can go first.
So. Oh, okay. I learned, this is quite a funny story, actually. So there was a tech magazine that used a picture of a hipster, and they basically did an article called The Hipster Effect, Why Anticonformists Always End Up Looking the Same. So that's the title of the article that they did. And they used this picture of a hipster from Getty. Yeah. And someone got in touch with the person who wrote the article and basically said that you've used my image in a slanderous way. That it was a furious email. And basically, he was saying that you're saying I'm a hipster and that I look the same as everyone else. And you used the picture without my permission. Basically complaining about how his photo had been used.
Yeah.
And so they looked into the license through Getty. And Getty sent back the model, who the model was, and it was a different person.
I was smiling all the way through this because I have heard of this story and it is amazing.
It was a different model. It was a different person. So what happened was the person who got in touch had confused himself for someone who for the picture that they actually used.
It's supreme irony.
Thus proving their entire article. That you couldn't dream of.
It sounds like a publicity stunt.
It sounds like a Not the Onion article.
It does, doesn't it? It really does.
That's amazing. He'd misidentified himself.
That is amazing.
So I thought that was quite a funny thing I learned this week.
That's quality, Alex. Quality.
My thing that I learned this week isn't funny, but it's just interesting, I think, and it's about Star Wars.
Oh, good.
So I learned this whilst just reading up on a video that will be going up on the channel very soon. Teaser. And, you know, in Star Wars, one of the most identifying features of Star Wars is the characters known as droids.
There are indeed R2-D2.
C-3PO and R2-D2, yeah, exactly. This week I learned that the word droid is a registered trademark of Lucasfilm and now Disney. And it has been since 1977, before the first film came out.
Interesting.
So,
a quick question. So droid isn't really used for anything else? What are the parameters surrounding it?
I don't know.
It seems like it's kind of come into more popular culture, right? If someone was made a robot, and they could quite easily say it's a droid, and most people would know what they were talking about, right?
Mm. Well, obviously, the word is derived from android.
It's
not an original word, but there was a series of phones produced by Motorola and HTC, I think, in about 2009 to 2012. And they were used the Google's Android operating system. And so they called the phones Droid, the Droid range. Mm-hmm. The name Droid was used under license by Verizon, of all people, who paid Lucasfilm for the right to call them Droid phones.
Wow.
Even though they called them Droid phones because they were using Google's Android operating system.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's another canny move by George Lucas, keeping the merchandising rights to Star Wars and trademarking the name Droid, the word Droid.
That's amazing that they managed to get that word, because that's could very easily just become
the common
usage word mm-hmm. for robot. Essentially.
It's like Hoover. We just use the word Hoover to describe a vacuum cleaner, but it's that one company owned by Mr. Hoover, isn't it, that used it?
There you go. Yeah.
There you go. Oh, that's two facts. I was going to say. One. There you go.
You told me two things.
You're too kind, Robin. You're too kind. Well, I learnt about genes.
Which
you know genes?
Genes?
You wear jeans.
Genomes? Or
do you wear? Like denim. Denim jeans.
Oh, wearing some right now, Martin. How did you know?
Are you really? I'm wearing shorts, actually. You can't see them on camera. Unfortunately.
Are they denim?
Boxer shorts. No. No, they're not actually. They're a nice little pattern. Maybe I'll have to post a picture of them on Twitter.
Mm.
Head over to Martin's Twitter if you want to see him wearing his denim short shorts.
That wasn't meant to be a segue, but I'm at Mart Interesting. See what I did there?
That was very clever.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Do you guys want to do yours now too? Or
sure. Yeah, sure. I'm at Just Alexing.
Doesn't make sense, but carry on.
It makes me shake my head every time. And I'm at All Time Robin because I still haven't changed my handle.
Fair
Come
enough.
Come on, Robin. Move on. You've got to move on now.
But it's got... I'm all time.
You're living in the past.
I'm all time.
It's going to be there forever.
Forever and ever.
So back to jeans. You know you're wearing a pair of jeans and you have your main pockets where you put your phone and your wallet, yeah?
Mm.
And then you have those tiny little pockets that can't even hold a paperclip.
Well, they're inside your pocket.
Yeah.
The middle pocket inside your pocket, yeah.
What they can't hold is a wallet or a four-finger Kit Kat. Anything worth holding.
Can they hold a two-finger Kit Kat? Is that even...
Well, they might be able to. And the reason they might be able to is that pocket was for pocket watches.
Oh.
When jeans were first made. So now, of course, hardly anyone has a pocket watch, so they're no longer used. But originally, when Levi first made these jeans, they had those tiny little pockets for pocket watches, but they're now redundant, of course. And that's why you never see those little pockets on suit trousers or formal wear, because of course if you're wearing a suit you have a space for your pocket watch on like the breast. So next time you think those little pockets are completely useless, just pick up a pocket watch.
I can't tell you the amount of times I've been out and about in my jeans and I've had my pocket watch on my person and been like, oh, if only I had a little tiny pocket for my pocket watch.
There we go.
I must be confused because I have clearly the wrong perception of how big a pocket watch is. Because in my head, a pocket watch is like a massive thing on the end of a chain. Couldn't possibly fit inside that tiny pocket inside my jeans. They must have had much smaller pocket watches than I realized. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Perhaps, or maybe. I mean, I don't have a picture of it exactly. The pocket isn't tiny, is it? I mean,
No, I mean, you can fit... I used to try to make use of it by folding up banknotes and putting them in there.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, maybe I have to try it out. Pick up a pocket watch.
Pick up a pocket watch.
Pick up a penguin.
Pick up a pocket watch.
Yeah.
What can you put in the tiny pockets? There's a fantastic YouTube piece of content waiting to be made there.
Pocket watch. Pocket watch. Wham bar. Slap band. I don't know. Maybe a very thin playing card. I'm not sure. Anyway, that was my interesting piece for the week.
That's good.
That's so interesting. No worries. Should we move on to some news?
Yes, right.
Sure.
Some weird news. If it's weird, it might not be. What have you guys got this week?
Well, yeah, mine isn't particularly weird, but I wanted to go for a bit of uplifting news.
Oh, get out.
With everything going on, and it does feel like the end times, I just wanted to have a little silver lining, maybe, and that is that experts are now saying the coal industry might never recover after this coronavirus pandemic. The coal industry, yes.
Okay.
Beautiful, clean coal.
Beautiful, clean coal of West Virginia. No. It was the West Virginia.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Trump, that was. Despite, if anyone recognized that.
Despite Trump promising to dig up coal and bring it back during his term, coal plants are closing at the fastest rate in decades, and it's kind of estimated that since this whole coronavirus pandemic is basically speeding up their rate of closure, because people are finding more and more that renewable energy is cheaper for consumers and just safer. A safer bet for people investing in energy, in the energy sector.
Good.
Which makes sense. So it's basically the silver lining of the pandemic is that this is kind of speeding up people's reform into renewable energies. So coal's share of US electricity generation could apparently fall to just 10% in 5 years' time, which is down from 50% a decade ago.
Oh wow! Yeah. So that's a big shift, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's pretty massive, actually.
That is. I mean, one of the interesting things about the COVID-19 pandemic has been a lot of people with this kind of break. You know, when we saw, especially in China, that there was a drop in pollution, we're seeing it as a little bit of as a bit of a reset button on all of these things. Right? You've shut down some of the plants. You've shut down people's places of work.
Mm.
Hopefully, there's a chance for people to reevaluate what's important in their lives and what we should be kind of striving to achieve in the future. I think maybe that's one of the best things that's kind of come out of this.
Yeah.
Despite, of course, because when you're working in one of these industries, you lose your job. That's never good. But
it reminds me of conversations I used to have with friends at university when, you know, you're up late at night, a little bit drunk, trying to right the wrongs of the world. And you're saying, it would be always simpler if we just stopped doing everything and started again with these new systems in place. You know, and you have those fanciful, idealistic moments where, like, the government can just stop stuff and restart it again. But of course, what you need is some external force to compel people to stop what they're doing and start again.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. The only kind of hold up at the moment, I guess, is China, which at the moment burns half of the world's coal. And is the biggest financier of mines and power plants in Asia and Africa. So,
yeah.
I mean, to be honest, I'm a bit saddened that it's coal that's shutting down, because am I right in thinking, I could be wrong, that coal is slightly better for electricity production? Obviously, we have lots and lots of coal-burning power plants, whereas we don't use oil to generate electricity. But also, coal is cleaner when you burn it in power plants to generate steam for electricity turbines than oil would be, I think.
I imagine we're talking kind of relativity relative here, though, right? We're burning coal still.
So. Yeah, coal's still bad, and they do.
So, yeah. So,
yeah, there's lots of poisonous toxins that get released.
It's probably still one of the worst, right?
Yeah, there's all kinds of problems, but they've got the infrastructures in place to kind of scrub the waste that comes out, you know, the sulfur extractors and things like that. So that's a little bit sad. And of course, there's a lot of countries that are more self-sufficient because of coal. you know, I think more countries have coal deposits than have oil deposits. So obviously, if what happens is the coal gets shut down, stops being used, and people shift, look to oil to fill the gap whilst renewable energy, you know, builds itself up, then of course you put political power in the hands of certain nations that have oil, whereas coal is more ubiquitous, I think.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Okay. Kind of spreads a bit of the I imagine there are still, of course, China specifically, as you mentioned, Alex, in Africa there's there's a lot of coal resources. So there'll still be those that definitely focus on it, but that's interesting to know. I didn't know that coal, I mean, it seems more likely if you look at the big oil producing countries, they're fairly few and far between, right? There's about half a dozen that are the major ones in the world. Whereas coal, I could give you the continents that the coal production is massive on.
Exactly,
but maybe
lots
not.
Of countries have coal.
I mean, I guess the problem with countries like China and India and all these kind of up and coming industrializing nations is that they are still, you know, they're developing currently, whereas like they're going through their industrial revolution, I guess. We already kind of have been and have seen the effects and are now kind of realizing that we need to be renewable. All these kind of like developing nations, we kind of don't have the moral high ground to say, oh no, you really need to use clean energy when we've been burning coal for like the last 100 years.
It is true, but I guess on the other side of that, we have more information now. In terms of population, the populations are much higher. I'm not excusing the fact that the Western world has gone through this period of development has profited so massively off it. But I guess in terms of knowledge, we do know more. Populations are bigger, and the stakes are so much higher with the way the world's in at the moment. The situation we're in. So I think yes, you can't have that moral high ground based on the history of Western countries. But at the same time, you can't. I imagine that you can't just stand by if you have the knowledge of the damage it could do and not say anything because of not wanting to seem like you have the moral high ground.
Well, this is that classic parent-teenager problem, isn't it? Where the teenager just refuses to acknowledge that the parents are coming from a place of experience, you know. And there's always that tension. And like the parents are like, you don't understand. We've been through this. We might sound like hypocrites, but we've learned from our mistakes. Which kind of goes back to the podcast we had the other week about the generation gap, doesn't it?
And then the kid finds pictures of their parents, you know, smoking weed at Woodstock, and they're like, look at you, look what you've done. And how can you lecture me?
And the parents like, I don't remember doing that.
Of course you don't, it was the good stuff.
But I mean, either way, I think it's a positive thing that we can think about. And hopefully it will, like you say, people will be able to pause and reflect on the way that, you know, what's important and stuff. And when things do start up again, it isn't just going to be back to business as normal in terms of the energy sector. And people will be focusing more on renewables, hopefully.
Hopefully. I mean, at a macro level, I'm sure that a lot of the coal producing businesses will want to jump straight back in as much as possible. They're not going to change their tune on that level, but in terms of regulation, hopefully it will give us a little bit more time to think about what could be if we had a shift.
I'm glad you mentioned India, actually, because my weird news is about India, particularly India and Pakistan.
Okay.
And apparently sorry. Police in India claim they have caught a spy pigeon sent from Pakistan across the border through Kashmir. The Kathua region police said villagers saw a pigeon fly into a woman's window from across the Pakistan border. And there was a ring attached to one of its legs with some numbers on it. And they are currently trying to decipher the code of the numbers on the tag and claim it is a spy pigeon, which kind of follows up on actually Martin's video that you made a few weeks ago about animals in warfare, which I thought was interesting. We'll put a link on screen. I'm sorry, I'm just linking back to all our videos today. I'm just going to keep talking about it. But I thought it was just quite novel that, you know, people are still using spy pigeons.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. You would have thought that it would have been much easier to sneak across a phone or something, but no. Yeah.
A WhatsApp message, right? That's encoded, so why not?
Yeah, I mean, this kind of follows up from that story earlier this year about the Russian spy whale. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
The beluga whale.
Yeah.
Was it Russia? Was that?
Is I think so, wasn't it?
It was Russia,
In Crimea? It was in Crimea?
Didn't it defect from Russia? Wasn't that
a dissident? Yeah.
I want to eat at McDonald's. The golden arches.
It just seems with so much of advancing technology and AI, and people are still using pigeons and dolphins and whales, and it's like, okay. I mean, it doesn't sound like the most fail-safe approach, but you know, each to their own.
Although, after Alex's story from last week's podcast, sorry, I'm at it again, about Jack the dolphin who guided ships through the icebergs. I think we should make friends with the animals and use them for a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, dolphins, they're meant to be one of the most intelligent creatures, right?
Yeah. Use them.
Pigeons, I'm not sure.
What can we possibly use animals for more than we've already used them for?
Okay, yes. Good point. Phrasing, I suppose, I should say.
We've literally used their bodies to keep us alive.
We've domesticated... Have you seen Tiger King, Robin?
Not yet, actually.
Oh, well, my news story is about Tiger King.
Oh my word. Oh yes. My word.
I don't know if that was a segue that you did on purpose there, Alex, because
as soon as I said it, I remembered that your news story was about Tiger King, but it wasn't intentional. But that was a pretty nice segue.
Alex, you are the segue king. Segue master.
The segue Tiger King. Oh, it doesn't really work. Anyway, Robin, sorry, mate. Were you done with your news story? I didn't ask.
Yeah, I'm done. From Robin to Baskin. Baskin Robbins.
Baskin shark, dolphins, pigeon. What?
Ice cream.
No, it doesn't work.
Leave it to the pros, guys. Leave it to the
exactly.
pros.
All right,
exactly.
Carol.
So Robin, so you haven't seen Tiger King, but you've heard
I
about
haven't.
Carol Baskin.
No. All I know is that bitch Carol Baskin. Is that right?
That bitch Carol Baskin. Not according to me.
Florida. Killed her husband.
well. It wasn't known whether she killed her husband. So, I'm sure there are people out there who've seen Tiger King and this is going to be boring, but I'll give a tiny bit of background because otherwise people who haven't seen it will be wondering what the hell is going on. So, Joe Exotic, a bloke who has this zoo with loads and loads of tigers in it, and he hates Carol Baskin, this woman, Carol Baskin, who supposedly rescues tigers.
Right.
Although her sanctuary, in inverted commas, kind of looks pretty similar to Joe Exotic Zoo. There's not too much differential there.
Yeah.
Anyway, the story goes that Carol Baskin, her original husband, went missing, okay, a number of years ago.
Mm.
And as a result, he was a rich man, and as a result, she inherited not only the sanctuary, but also a whole load of money from him and a whole load of other things, right, as you do when someone dies. Her husband's children were cut out of the will, and they were wondering what the hell was going on, because they were like, well, you know, our dad, he would have put us in the will.
Mm.
That was kind of included within the Tiger King documentary.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that this week, local police say that the will that meant that Carol Baskin got all this money and all the big cats was a forgery.
Wow.
Okay. And one thing I forgot to mention at the time was that there was doubt surrounding how her husband went missing, and Joe Exotic specifically kept on claiming that that Carol Baskin killed her husband and fed her to the tigers and the lions that she owned as a way of covering up a murder. So this news coming out that the will was a forgery doesn't necessarily say that she killed him, but says that there might have been some kind of foul play in terms of deciding yes. who the money went to. So we don't know whether this was forged by Carol Baskin, whether it was forged before the husband went missing or afterwards. Like, these things aren't known, the exact dates of it.
Yeah.
But what it does do is it sheds more light on this situation and definitely casts into doubt her story, her version of events, right? That her husband went missing, he left her this will that left her everything.
So what's going to happen as a result of this? Just like, because this seems like it has massive implications. Does this mean that the will, everything that was in the will and where his estate went to wasn't legitimate? Anything happen retroactively?
No, it doesn't, because the statute of limitations has expired.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
So she yes. got away with it. That She's, bitch, well, Carol Baskin!
I mean, Joe Exotic will be fuming from his jail. Well, actually, that's a spoiler. He'll be fuming.
and this also coincides this week. She actually took control of his zoo.
Yes. Yes.
Didn't she?
Yes, she got the rights to, he got paid out for his zoo because she sued him.
Wow.
And so she's got the zoo. But of course, I imagine that this won't be the end of this. I mean, criminal charges might not.
I'm
might
waiting
be
for the sequel series now. It's going to happen, right?
They're you'd imagine another... something else will happen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, her life right now must. I don't have too much sympathy, but her life right now must be pretty tough in terms of press hounding and people contacting her, I imagine.
I expect so, yeah. So how did they...
But when the will's been forged, you know, maybe she deserves the unwanted attention.
Well, we don't know if she... it seems likely, doesn't it, if everything went to her, that she forged it.
Yeah, because...
Yeah. Qui bono. Yeah.
That even in the documentary, they pointed out, in the will, it said, if he ever goes... If I ever go missing, this is what should happen. And the lawyer pointed out, that is, he's never seen that particular example, like, written into any will ever. Like, no one writes like that in a will. If I am to go missing, this should happen. No one would put that in a will phrased that way.
No, because you would never, ever, ever in a million years expect yourself to go missing.
Yeah, you might.
Especially when
you
wrote a will quite a few years before as well.
You would say in the event of my death or something, but like, in the event I go missing.
Yeah, it's a bizarre thing, isn't it? It's a bizarre thing to say. So anyway, that's the update from that bitch Carol Baskin. But it looks like that nothing will happen as a result.
Wow,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
really interesting. Yeah. How did they figure out it was forged after all this time?
Good question. So they got some experts on it, the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department, and they confirmed that it was a forgery. So, of course, this is their opinion, right? This is their professional opinion that it's been forged based on their own techniques. But at the same time, this is the head of the County Sheriff's Department coming out with this officially, saying that it was a forgery according to these officials. And I imagine that that they wouldn't say that unless they're pretty sure that it was the case, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So we shall see. We shall see if there is a Tiger King 2 or what happens to Carol, the bitch Carol Baskin. I don't know if she's a bitch or not. It's just a quote from the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there we go. There we go. Suspicion still looms over her. I imagine it can't be good for business.
Probably not. Yeah. Any press is good press, right?
Apart from if it's about you killing someone.
Feeding your husband to tigers. Yeah.
Okay, so I have a comment from Ben Hawkins, who asks, what's the idea from the old channel you're bringing back? Now, this was in relation to us talking about the goals on our Patreon, and one of them being that we're going to bring back an old strand from a previous channel that shall not be named. he says he's on the Patreon, so I'll eventually see, but it'll be nice to know, so I don't have to wait to find out. Well, Ben... that was actually In Plain Sight, our old documentary series that we're considering bringing back if we're able to reach that goal. So if anyone's interested in seeing any more of those documentaries, we did one on Jack the Ripper, didn't we? And one in...
And Epping Forest, the ghosts. The second one. Yeah. There.
I think they're all still up on YouTube, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, you can still find them, yeah, in plain sight. But we'd love to do that again. Of course, at the moment, we're a bit limited by the law. But once that's out of the way, and we reach that goal on Patreon, we'll absolutely be able to do some exciting things.
Yeah, great.
So I've got a comment from Doom, who just said that they left a comment about Trump being exposed by Anonymous, and now it's gone. Was that you guys or YouTube? And I can assure you, I don't know about you guys, but I didn't delete any comments from the last podcast.
No, unless they're literally really horrible or just spamming, then we don't mess around the comments at all.
It might
give us opinions.
And to be honest, even the spam, we don't really.
We love the engagement.
If we love it, yeah.
Just if you're spamming links, it probably gets automatically deleted or automatically removed by YouTube. But anything about Trump or whatever, keep it. We keep that.
Or it was Anonymous trying to keep it down. Because is this? I don't know. This maybe unrelated, but Doom, tell us in the comments. Actually, is this the story about those hackers who claim to have got legal documents from Trump's lawyers?
Yeah, I was.
And want to sell them.
I was going to ask actually if you guys had seen that story about Anonymous, that cropped up in because they hacked the precinct in Minneapolis. I think the police precinct's website. They were just putting stuff up on Twitter, but I don't actually know if they released any new information or if it was just publicly available information they'd put into a thread. But I mean, either way, if it's getting out public information in a way that's more appealing for people to look at, then that's
going onto the police website.
True. I remember there being some confusion, wasn't there, within that document leaked about Chris Evans visiting Jeffrey Epstein's island, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, and people thought it was Captain America, Chris Evans, but actually
it was actually British radio DJ.
Yeah,
Chris Evans.
I mean, that's just as sad, really.
Yeah, it's no better, is it? But some super fans were getting worried.
Is that book he had? Was that just his contact, like his address book, or is that like his actual, like, you know, people who have come and visited him? And
that's what I gauged from it, that it was people who visited.
Yeah.
I mean, I would double check that for sure. Or anyone listening to this, double check that. Don't want to get in trouble. But that's what I gleaned from it. But
it didn't have like a header that said list of allies. Another one, list of enemies.
Chris Evans is such a random person.
I know. Just goes to show, once you become famous and a millionaire, you can hobnob with the richest of them, really.
Yes.
So I've got a comment from Nikki Babalis on last week's podcast, which was about should social media be censored, and just a general note about the podcast. And Nikki says, "Hey guys, sounds like you all are a bit down. Keep those chins up. Don't let lockdown get you down. Supporter from South Africa."
Oh, nice!
So thank you. That was just really nice comment. And I think we were all a bit down last week. I think it was just not the best week for news, was it?
I mean, this week's not too much better, is it? But
I think it's got worse. True. If anything,
it has got worse. But
I feel alright this week. So
yeah, I think with the love and support that you guys show on the channel and whatever platform you're listening to us on, it helps cheer us up every time. And I also want to say thank you for support from South Africa, because I have heard there are difficulties in South Africa with alcohol at the moment. Like their supermarkets aren't selling it the weekends.
You can't get it. It's the difficulty.
You can't get it. Yeah. So in the lockdown situation, you can't have a drink. I'm sorry for everyone who wants one and can't get hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a British take on
toast my beer to you now. Yeah. Sorry for anybody who is denied.
Yeah, exactly.
Within reason, obviously. If you're denied the right to kill your neighbour, then that's a good thing.
I was oddly specific. Let's not look into that.
Let's not dwell on that. Let's move on to the...
It's just off the top of my head, yeah.
Let's move on to the main topic, which is about conspiracy theories. And specifically, do we think that conspiracies are declining? And if so, why is this the case? Like, I mean, there are plenty of conspiracies that still exist, and I mean, they've moved online as a being, as opposed to being kind of so much in the public eye in the press. I mean, what do you guys think? Are we in the golden age of conspiracies, or are we actually, in reality, have all the conspiracies that that we want to cover already been covered?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably worth mentioning that this was a topic suggested by one of our Patreon supporters, Casey. And I think he was asking that particularly in the light of the current situation in politics and the pandemic worldwide, and whether people are kind of getting a little, I guess, disenchanted with the notion of conspiracy theories because, you know, particularly, let's look at America, for example, where you've got a president who touts conspiracy theories, and I guess as an unintentional result, has brought a lot of scrutiny onto conspiracy theories. And therefore, we've got this classic example, like what happened to us on the channel that shall not be named. Social media and big corporations and the mass media in general are doing a lot more to crack down on conspiracy theories, which they kind of lump with fake news. So it definitely seems like more so than ever, there's been a concerted effort to suppress conspiracy theories and to suppress the kind of thinking that creates conspiracy theories.
I think the other side of it is that people don't tend to, when they find something shocking, okay, when there's a revelation that, say, a government official has lied about something, nowadays people don't seem to care. So someone lies, so you find out that there's potentially evidence for the fact that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, right? That's pretty much gone away in the mainstream media. It's been, I mean, either it's been hush-hush or they're like, this isn't valid enough news. Now, I know that news stories move on and new things come to light, but the fact is there are still massive question marks over that, but it's just not being covered. Why that would have been a conspiracy in the past, right? And there would have been an investigation into it. Now people are like, probably didn't kill himself. There was probably a cover-up, probably murdered, but that's just one of a whole load of things that are being covered up now.
Yeah.
So people are still interested in conspiracies, but people aren't thriving for that resolution because we're just so flooded with so many lies.
What's the phrase though? I think is it outrage fatigue? Like,
right.
The whole thing with Jeffrey Epstein was just so in your face. Like, normally conspiracy theories, or it feels like the old, you know, the classic conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
It requires this kind of leap of faith and this kind of piecing together obscure little strands of information that might link together, but also it might not be true. Whereas the Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, like, it's so kind of in your face, and it just happened, and they got away with it. Yeah, and then by the next week, something else outrageous in politics would have happened that would have been unprecedented 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the news cycle moves on to that instead. I mean, the Jeffrey Epstein thing, I did see for a while after people trying to keep it in the headlines, and like people would make a regular weekly post on Reddit saying, like, just a reminder that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. And it was like turned into this meme. But it feels like the meme was more about, like, it was almost laughing at the ridiculousness of it all. Like how in your face it was that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. And yeah, I don't know. It feels like conspiracy theories have changed, I would say, since like when we were doing them on our previous channel. It seems to be like less variety and they're more politically charged. There's more of a narrative going into them. I don't know. Maybe that's just my opinion.
I think you're completely right. Everything you're just saying prompted me to agree with you by citing examples like Pizzagate. You said earlier the QAnon thing feels apologists' wet dream to try to excuse the fact that Trump has disappointed them in office. The whole deep state thing is just feels like a bad excuse and a silly excuse. On one hand, and things like Pizzagate was just so outrageous that everyone was like, "What? This clearly isn't true." So it feels like conspiracy theories have kind of weirdly grown more desperate in recent years, and perhaps because of mass media and because of the internet, have become so widespread in terms of people's awareness of them that there isn't that sense of discovery to them. They just become, like you say, ordinary news. And when people see ordinary news, they read the headline and make an instinctive judgment about what their view is on that headline, and then they choose to read the article or not. So I think conspiracy theories have kind of given themselves a bad name by becoming so mainstream now, and you don't have that kind of underground movement for them to build up and to kind of become established, like JFK assassination as an example of a conspiracy theory that obviously was created immediately within 24 hours of JFK being assassinated, but wasn't reported in the news, and therefore was this underground thing that grew over time, and these people who held this belief or who suspected something was up kind of privately met together, and it became their thing, and then it became more mainstream as people wrote books about it and made documentaries about it, and then it became like an established a Hollywood thing, you know, with the film JFK by Oliver Stone starring Kevin Costner in 1991. So you get, you don't have the time for conspiracy theories to kind of marinate, I guess.
So you're saying that, like, yeah, there's so much information immediately available that it's kind of the not necessarily the truth, but the theory hits you so squarely in the face so immediately that there's no time for it to for it to build.
I totally 100% agree, and I agree as well that the with everything about conspiracies were like this underground thing where once you find the rabbit hole, and then you stay up till 3 a.m. researching it, and it's kind of fun, you know. It was before it got a bad name. And you didn't even necessarily believe the conspiracy theories, but it was fun to, like, you know, play with those kind of threads, and look into, like, you know, the topics of like JFK and moon landing and all that. Whereas now it's just, it's kind of been conflated with the whole fake news, and it's kind of gone mainstream. You know, everyone, when a conspiracy theory happens, like the 5G coronavirus causing coronavirus, it's gone mainstream. You get people talking about it on WhatsApp, people who you would never think would even know about the coronavirus 5G conspiracy theory are posting conspiracies about it.
So do you think that in conspiracies themselves, there's an abundance of them like there never has been before, but people aren't necessarily, I don't want to say cherishing them, but people aren't really, I don't know, acknowledging them as conspiracies because it's just so mainstream. So in fact, there are perfectly legitimate things that could be classed as conspiracies, but because they're not being framed as such, they aren't going down as that.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that's interesting is that there have been a whole wave of scientific studies into conspiracy theory belief, not into conspiracy theories themselves, but into people's belief in conspiracy theories just in the last, decade or so? Certainly the last 2 decades is only really when serious scientific research has been conducted into conspiracy theories and the people who believe them. And I think the general consensus at the moment amongst psychologists is that people choose to believe in conspiracy theories to help them understand and explain events that seem otherwise exceptionally out of their control. So a great example is 9/11. It was a huge shock. Nobody expected it, except for certain individuals in the intelligence community, and the President of the United States, if you believe that. So lots of people react to that by saying, oh, it can't just be some terrorists in a cave in Afghanistan who did this terrible thing to the United States of America, the world's greatest superpower. Has to be something else behind it. Same thing again with JFK. It was such a shocking event. The President of the United States can't be killed by a lone gunman. It must be something else. And then,
or looking really, really recently. Now Bill Gates is in the firing line and, like, with conspiracy theories.
Exactly.
Because of his TED talk several years ago where he said, in the future, like, the thing that's likely to kill millions of people isn't going to be wars, it'll be a deadly virus. And now conspiracy theories are saying that Bill Gates planned it, and he's, you know, he's funding vaccines that are going to kill hundreds of thousands of people. I've seen he's working for George Soros as well.
All right. Wait, Bill Gates is working for... What?
So he's getting paid. He needs the extra income.
That doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah. But yeah, they likened him to a voodoo doll, didn't they? Like sticking their pins in.
Yeah, but going back to your point, it's because they're trying to explain this horrible thing that's happening, like all the coronavirus stuff.
Exactly, and surveys have been done. And in the UK, there was a survey just last week of May, that found that 60% of British adults believe that the government is hiding the real cause of COVID-19 pandemic, implying that it was a man-made thing rather than just a natural thing. In America, a third of adults at the last survey believe that COVID-19 is the result of some kind of secret plot. And in India, 45% of the population believe that COVID-19 is a plot by a foreign power to, you know, conquer the world by wiping out half the population. So you've got these huge...
Oh, wow. That's a huge
amount. Yeah, huge sections of society. And I'm ashamed to see that Britain is at the top of that in terms of percentage. Believing that COVID-19 cannot possibly have been a naturally occurring virus. And the pandemic can't possibly have just happened naturally in a globalized society. And, you know, the problem with all conspiracy theories is that time may well prove them right, you know. But it's interesting that conspiracy theories seem to have risen to the point where, again, world leaders... And in particular, one world leader, the leader of the free world traditionally, is actually not just subscribing to, but promoting certain conspiracy theories in the time of international crisis. And the problem there, of course, is that he is technically, officially, the most informed person in the nation on the matter, and should have all the information at hand to make a reasoned decision and draw a reasoned conclusion, you know?
Yeah. I mean, do you think, though, that Trump was elected because he knew why people voted him, right? He knew that the key to his success was to be a populist, right? And so this is just an extension of that. In fact, I believe that it doesn't even matter. I think that sometimes he believes that some of these theories are true, and sometimes he doesn't. That's not really what he cares about. He doesn't care if people think that what he's saying is true or not. The truth doesn't really necessarily matter to him. What matters is people's perception of what he's saying.
Mm. Yeah.
And so I think that some of the stuff he says, he knows what he's saying is rubbish, but he knows that it will get a response, you know?
We live in a, what's that phrase, post-truth society?
Post-truth world, yeah.
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 So I guess...
But that's... That's an interesting kind of point to make when you've got the highest, like, most powerful person in the land as a, you know, spouting conspiracy theories.
Mm.
It is saying, like, conspiracy theories have gone mainstream. And it's kind of like when all the kind of news that you read and hear about are now just like full of conspiracy theories. I guess, yeah, conspiracy theories that we knew are just no longer there. They're not under they're like, it's like The Incredibles, you know, when everything's a conspiracy theory, nothing's a conspiracy theory.
There's a lot of truth in that.
I think so in 2014, there was a study that said at least half of Americans believed in a conspiracy theory. There hasn't been an equivalent study or survey carried out in 2020 yet, so it'd be really interesting to see if that statistic has changed at all, particularly in the wake of COVID-19. I suspect the number will be about the same, and I suspect that I suspect that's probably a combination of not only something as big as COVID-19 or Jeffrey Epstein kind of continuing to encourage people to believe in conspiracy theories who wouldn't otherwise believe in any conspiracy theory. They've got a new one that might grab their attention. I suspect it's just human nature, you know.
I reckon, depending on how the study's conducted, I would guess if they're just asking people if they believe in a conspiracy theory, I would suggest that maybe the number will go down.
Oh, really?
Because I think that the people will become even more sure of what they're believing and not even identify it as a conspiracy theory.
Oh, interesting.
They'll be in the whole, it's not even a theory, that's just true, even though it is a conspiracy theory.
I mean, that's the difficult thing about a conspiracy theory. Yeah. It tends to be defined about what other people think is truth, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
it tends to be, if it is by its very nature a niche thought.
Yeah.
If it wasn't, it would just be the truth. Yeah. You know, it has to be the other point of view for a conspiracy to exist, basically.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it goes back to something we said a while ago when we were discussing something similar on a different podcast, which is that it's so easy to believe in conspiracy theories because there have been so many real life conspiracies by particularly people in power, and in particular in America, and in particular in the 20th century. And it might just be that because of the 20th century's advances in technology and information technology in particular, that people are just more aware, because there's more proof, there's more information and more ways to spread the information about those conspiracies. But, you know, because in the 18th century, when a government plotted against somebody, it was just what the government did. You know, it was good government. You know, in the 16th century, when the Protestant Tudors plotted against the Catholics and vice versa, it was just, hey, that's what they do. You know, that's not a conspiracy theory. That's just what we expect Catholics and Protestants to do. You know, whereas today we live in a society where people expect, or for whatever reason have come to aspire to, live in a society where everybody behaves properly. And people don't plot against other people, and people aren't nefarious, and people don't manipulate and don't lie through their teeth, you know, shake your hand whilst their other hand has got a knife in your back. You know, it's I'm actually sure how that transformation occurred. I would like to know when that happened, when society, particularly in the West, decided that everything was all right and everything was fine, which allowed for things like Watergate to completely explode the world as we know it. You know,
when it went from not being expected, or when it went to being not being expected.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And so it became shocking.
Yeah.
When people found out, oh, the government's doing horrible things in the background without our knowledge.
And perhaps in a weird way, what do you think? Do you think maybe we have regressed a little bit so that people now just expect, we don't want our political leaders to be obvious blatant liars, but we expect it, so we just roll with it.
I mean, conspiracies, they always rely on that negative, don't they? Like every conspiracy you think of, there's always either someone doing something bad or someone covering something up. Even if you go for some of the more traditional ones that you wouldn't think would be terrible. So something like the moon landing, right? The Stanley Kubrick one.
Yes.
That, although is a fairly light-hearted conspiracy, if that was proven true, it would change the way we think about things, but it wouldn't necessarily change us as people. But what it does rely on is someone lying, right? Or systematic lying with not only Stanley Kubrick, but a whole load of people, a whole load of NASA and everyone lying, you know? So there's always this negative framing of conspiracies.
Yeah.
And maybe the fact that people are not believing so much in conspiracies now, or not identifying things as conspiracies, is because the world is full of so much negativity that it just doesn't stand out.
That's a very sobering thought. Yeah.
Did I'm just thinking about this topic. Didn't one of you find an article saying that conspiracy theories are far more popular in the West than in like China and India and across Asia?
Yeah, I found an article in the Hindustan Times. It was an opinion piece, so it didn't have any surveys, hard statistics, but it was saying how it was commenting on, I think, one of the many Trump conspiracy theories, and saying how in India, conspiracy theories just aren't a thing. In India, they don't. They just don't subscribe popularly to conspiracy theories. And I think a similar situation is in China. As we've commented in the past, like China's UFO kind of subgroup of their society are really kind of passionate believers, and in many ways are actual, like, genuine scientists trying to investigate UFOs, perhaps trying to prove that they exist, which we might in the West consider a conspiracy theorist, but in China they're not perceived that way. They just see themselves as, you know, scientists and people trying to investigate this mystery of UFOs. But it's interesting, of course, in China you've got a very authoritarian government who are, with a secret police, who are disappearing people left, right and center. And in India, this article was saying how, for whatever reason, India doesn't popularize conspiracy theories. It's just not a thing that they have, even though they've had a number of high profile assassinations in recent history, like Indira Gandhi, and people who've been, you know, assassinated by their bodyguards, you know, things like that. So there are obvious real life conspiracies that have occurred very much in the public eye, but they just kind of don't go for conspiracy theories. But the article also mentioned in Nepal, they are going through a massive political shift at the moment because their monarchy is under serious threat of being replaced by a republic, because there's a conspiracy theory going around that the current king, I think, assassinated the previous king and his family, something on those lines. I need to look into it. So that's a case where a conspiracy theory, just one conspiracy theory, has had a really profound effect and led to a political crisis, because the population don't believe their king should be the king, and therefore they might get rid of the monarchy. So in the problem in terms of characterizing whether or not conspiracy theories are more popular in the West than in, say, Africa or the East, is partly a result of the fact that we haven't had many studies into it. All the studies that we've had into conspiracy theories have pretty much been in America and Europe, and in the last 20 years. I think the proportion is something like 80% of studies into conspiracy theories are from America and Europe, which I think you mentioned, Alex, is probably indicative of the fact that they're more popular over here. You know, that we can somehow justify funding for scientific studies into conspiracy theories.
I think also, if you look at the issues around conspiracy theories, and especially fake news and the impact that has on society, a lot of those major companies and corporations are US and Western based. If you look at Facebook and their issues with fake news, and Twitter, and many of the major players in big social media giants, they are, they're of course mainly US based. So there's definite value for them looking into how people think about conspiracies and how that ties into fake news as well.
I definitely think there's something in the train of thought where people generally expect or hope that their government is going to be transparent and open and seek to, like, protect them and will be honest and open. However, there's this historical precedent in the West of that not always being true, you know, with Operation Northwoods, MK Ultra, Paperclip. What is it? Oh, no, I've said MK Ultra. So there's these big historical times when it hasn't always been true that the government's protected citizens and been on their side. Whereas maybe in other countries, the government not being transparent isn't something that's expected. And so because of that, conspiracy theories don't really catch on. Maybe that's a totally unfair thing to say.
No, that sounds reasonable. I think like Martin hit the nail on the head, really, that perhaps by our very nature, humans are suckers for other people and we like to be trusting. But in the West, we've just been burned so many times by our own governments and by big corporations, and I guess by the rise of individualism in general, that we've been kind of trained not to trust other people and to expect the worst of each other. So conspiracy theories are less interesting.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. True. True. Anyway, I mean, this is a conversation that we'd have for many, many hours, and I'm sure we probably will.
Right, just getting started, boys. Come on, settle down, get yourself a tea. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, we'd love to know what you guys think in the comments below on this one. Yeah. Do you think that the prevalence of conspiracies is decreasing, or are we just becoming, what's the word, desensitized to conspiracies? I think is maybe a way of putting it as well. Let us know in the comments below. We would love to hear your thoughts and continue the discussion long after this podcast has been aired too.
Definitely, yeah.
But are you guys interested in potentially winning a quiz?
Yeah.
I'd love to. Yes, let's do that.
So, gentlemen, it is 10 questions as usual. This week's topic is, general knowledge, and a bonus question if you're tied. So, let me hear your buzzers. Robin?
She got a great ass!
Now, I don't...
That is, of course, Al Pacino from the classic movie Heat.
Okay, I didn't pick that up. But great, fantastic. It's original. We haven't had that before. And Alex?
Nice, true.
I have not been original. I feel like I'm just slipping into... I found my favourite buzzer and I'm just going with it every week.
Inspired by that same French excellence. It's fermented in the bottle and...
I mean,
it's drunk or some wells.
It's done you well in the last few weeks, hasn't it? You've had a bit of a resurgence, so that's good.
Well, I
that's
lost true, last yeah, week, so... You broke my winning streak, Martin, so who knows what it's going to be like this week.
True. Well, we shall see as we go on to question number one.
Okay. Ooh.
So as you guys know, SpaceX recently launched the Crew Dragon capsule, which reached the ISS. But from which state did it launch?
It celebrated for its excellence.
Alex?
Florida.
Florida is correct.
Yeah, nice.
Well done.
It was the original site that they launched the Apollo missions from, wasn't it?
Cape Kennedy.
Yes. Question number two. This week, quarterback Drew Brees backtracked on his initial statement regarding players kneeling in the NFL. So he said that it was pretty much un-American and that people shouldn't be doing it because it's disrespectful. But he backtracked from this, saying that he misunderstood the plight that his colleagues were going through, his black colleagues. But which team does Drew Brees play for in the NFL? If you say the city, you get the point.
It's always been celebrated for its excellence.
Yes. Alex, I think you were first there.
Just a guess then. Miami?
Not Miami.
Oh. Is it the Miami Dolphins? Is that them?
Yeah,
is
that a football team? That is the right team.
I don't know if they... Okay. I was going to say Chicago.
No, not Chicago. Have one more guess each and then I'll give you a clue.
So it is the Dolphins, but it's not Miami. Is that what you said?
No, it's not the Dolphins. No, I'm saying it is the... No. Alex said, is the Miami Dolphins a team?
I was just trying to guess the
and
team.
They are a team, but it's not the right one.
There is a California champagne by Port.
New Orleans?
Yes, correct. Well done.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
No way.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Well done.
Complete guess.
I mean,
maybe.
Is that the Patriots? New Orleans Patriots?
No, Saints.
No.
Saints. It's the
Saints,
New England Patriots, I think.
Oh, yeah, you knew that, Alex. You definitely knew that. Yeah.
I was just trying to...
Oh, the Saints.
That's amazing.
I was just trying to regurgitate, because I've definitely read the story this week, but I've read so many stories.
I don't know. I'm genuinely impressed that on your second guess of all the American cities,
that's incredible.
Got the right one. So that is impressive.
I was fully
shot in the dark.
I was fully expecting that to go on for a long time, of us just... Yeah. Naming random cities in the USA, and I was going to have to give some fairly specific clues there, but well done, very good. I mean, I think it's amazing how some things can just kind of lodge in your brain. I imagine that without reading that, you may not have gone for that, but somewhere in your mind, you had that knowledge.
Yeah, it's one of those things just in the subconscious that you pick up on as you read, but doesn't really go in.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, well done. Question number three, 2-0.
Thank you.
The 6th of June, as you guys know, marks the 76th anniversary of D-Day. Which two landings from this list I'm about to read out, which two beaches are missing, landing beaches, are missing from this list? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. So there were five overall, and I'm going to name three. And you guys have to name the other two. So, Utah, Omaha, and Sword.
What's, well, you just said the three that I knew.
What's, yeah. What's, yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. That was on purpose, the three most common. But actually, Sword, probably not.
I hadn't heard Sword before, to be honest. Like, yeah.
Utah and Omaha.
I don't know. I don't know the name of the beaches. That's really bad, isn't it?
Utah and Omaha are the two of the most kind of action prone. Yeah, they were the US landed on those two. And Sword, yeah. Two missing. You have no idea.
Not enough to really hazard a guess. Great ass.
I'm gonna guess Dakota is one of them.
No.
Oh.
Guys, I'm surprised. Utah. I'm genuinely surprised. I thought you know the beaches.
I feel like I should have watched enough documentaries to know, but yeah, I can't. Maybe. Remember. My parents are kicking themselves right now.
I'm kicking you.
Ashamed of their son. Yeah.
I'm kicking yourself for not knowing. Okay. Okay, okay, okay. Clues, clues, clues.
Yeah.
One is a precious metal.
Oh, yeah.
And the other was the name of a film from about 12 years ago about a girl who gets pregnant in her teenage years.
California champagne back for my son.
I think that was Robin.
Yes, Robin.
Gold and Juno?
Yeah, you got there.
Oh, nice.
Golden Juno.
I think that second clue was excellent.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah. Yeah, well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm ashamed I didn't know that.
Yeah, Utah, Omaha, Sword, yeah. Gold, and Juno. Yes. Okay.
Well done to everybody who got that, who's listening, who got that.
There will be some. There will be some. On to question number 4, 2-1 to Alex. In the UK office, what is Gareth's surname?
Is it California champagne by
Alex?
Keenan.
Keenan is right. Gareth Keenan in Vettergates.
Yeah.
Did you know that one, Robin?
I've seen that series several times.
Yeah, I was watching it again today. That's why I put it in. Question number 5, 3-1. What type of instrument is a cor anglais?
It's a California champagne by Paul Masson.
It's like an oboe or like a flute or something.
I was more meaning. Kind of.
Oh, like what? Brass.
What part?
Can I?
It's not brass, but that's what I'm on the lines of. That's what I'm after. Robert. Robin.
Wind.
Yeah, woodwind, yeah.
Oh, what? This is unfair. I got the thing.
No, you said brass. That's not the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, brass is a different section.
You said oboe, and you said brass.
I know what it is.
You knew what it was.
It's that. Yeah. It's. I
that wasn't the question.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, it's a woodwind.
Move on.
3-2. You're still in the lead. You're still in the lead. Okay, question number 6. What is the smallest state in the USA?
California champagne by Paul Masson.
Rhode Island?
Yes.
Yes.
4-2. Question number 7.
Yeah. Oh, no.
How old was the oldest person to have ever lived? Closest wins.
There is a California.
I think that was Robin.
Okay, yeah.
120?
Okay. Any advice?
Is it
any
closest
advancement?
Wins?
Is it closest wins, yeah.
I'll say 118.
It is 122 years and 164 days. By
wow.
Jean Calment, nice. From 1875 to 1997. He's French.
Amazing.
Yeah, 122. Wow. I don't think I want to live that long.
I wonder what his secret was.
I don't know.
Imagine living to the age of 100 and then living another, like, full, like, 22 years actually, like, of life.
Crazy, imagine living to 100 and then living a full adult, a very old adult cat's life.
Yeah, exactly. or living to the drinking age again in America, that is.
Yes, yeah. Past it by a little way.
Past, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think... I mean, I imagine that there are plenty of people who have been born now that will live beyond that and break that record. I mean, I haven't looked into Jean himself, but I imagine that it would be something typically French that they state as the reason for living so long.
Yeah, he drank 2 glasses of wine every day and made love every other day.
With garlic around his neck and a beret on. It'll be something. I mean, it'll be something almost.
Well, apologies to all of our French viewers, by the way.
No. I mean,
hey, in fairness, remember the world's oldest cats that lived to like 36.
Red wine.
And the owner said that he gave them red wine and coffee.
Something. I mean, that sounds fairly French to me.
That's the secret to their success.
Yeah, sounds like a French lifestyle to me. Okay, so that is 4-3 to Alex. On to question number 8. What is a baby giraffe called?
Oh.
Ooh.
Yes, a Robinho.
Is it a calf?
It is a calf.
Yes.
See,
this is... You said this would happen, Martin. You said, oh, it's going really well for you, Alex, isn't it? It's going so well.
Did I jinx you?
You jinxed me, yeah.
Okay, well, there's still questions left at 4-all. This is
there's still enough questions for you to win.
This
Alex.
Is exciting. This is
Shut
exciting.
Shut up, Robin.
You prick.
Sorry, I don't know where that came from.
Question number 9. What is the most common blood type in the world? Here's a great ass! Yes, Robin.
Is it O?
No.
Damn.
Ooh. I don't know. I don't even know blood types.
Excellence. There is a California.
Is it O negative?
No.
Oh.
Great ass. Yes.
Is it A positive?
No.
Damn it.
Excellence. There is a California champagne.
Yes, Alex.
Is it? Is it B positive?
No, but I like your positive thinking. B positive. No, exactly. Do you like a clue?
Okay.
Yes, well, please.
Okay. Yeah.
Fingers. Or is there a clue that you can actually give us that way?
I thought we were doing something wrong, Alex. What? How are we not getting it?
Fingers on buzzers.
Okay.
Yeah. It's O something.
There's a California champagne.
That was Alex Just.
It was.
O positive.
It is O positive.
Ho, ho, ho. There we
5-4 question number 10. Robin, you've got to get this, otherwise you've lost.
I do.
Okay, it's a historical question. Bit of context there. Get your mind going. Mm. What year did the Battle of Stalingrad start?
There is a California champagne.
Oh my goodness, that was so close. What do you...
That was close.
It's impossible to say who got that first. I think it was you, just Alex. Just.
So you're going with me?
I think so.
I mean, it's a guess anyway. Yeah. I'm not sure. What year was it? 1944?
No.
Damn it.
Are we doing closest wins?
No, we're not. We're doing the exact year, because it's a whole year.
Shit. Because now I'm nervous. 1942.
It's right. We're on to the bonus question.
Yes.
Oh, God. Well done. Well done.
I can't believe Stalingrad was that soon.
Yeah, it was quite early. Yeah, considering the war ended in 1944.
Yeah, Hitler invaded Russia too soon.
Yeah,
well, he invaded Russia. Yeah,
but a real turning point in the war, that one, wasn't it? Battle of Stalingrad. They didn't advance any further into Russia. Bonus question for all. Wow. Okay, this one is close.
Has this ever happened? That it's been 5-all, and then we've gone to the bonus question.
Is it 5-all?
I don't think it's that.
Isn't it? Wow,
we've had four all before, I think.
Yeah. Five all. Wow. No, I don't think it has.
I don't think the bonus question has ever actually been used as a deciding bonus question. It's always
I'm
done
sure
it.
Has. Yeah.
Yeah, true. I should have made it harder.
There's time for everything.
Okay, this one's closest wins. Okay.
Okay.
How fast does the ISS orbit the Earth?
Oh.
Mm. Does it orbit the Earth and its closest wins?
Yep.
For the record, I buzzed in first because I know that Alex is waiting. I'm going to go with 12 hours.
Speed. Speed, miles per hour.
Oh, right. I thought it was how fast it orbited the Earth.
Sorry. I know that was a little bit badly worded.
Can I do maths in reverse? Like, if I said it was 12 hours, how fast would it have to go?
If the Earth's circumference is...
And if the ISS had six oranges...
Leopold and John have four red balls. That's two each.
Buzzed in, Robin. You gotta give a.
Buzz in. I've got a.
Unless you want to. Can Robin's answer be 12? I've got to take your first answer. 12.
This is a complete guess, so I need to make sure it's a reasonable sounding guess, right? You know?
Sure.
Like, so, what is the circumference of the Earth?
Wait, no, you can't do this work. You can't work. You've got to give an answer.
Okay, Alex. You can go first if you like.
Robin's buzzed in. So.
This is true.
Oh, okay. So I'll go if you want.
Go ahead.
I'm brave. Actually, no, you go.
I was thinking, what's a reasonable speed to travel at?
Do you want it in miles per hour?
Yes, yes, please. If you have miles, that'd be
miles per hour. Okay.
That'd be better.
I'm rubbish at this. How fast would it be? Like,
I mean, the pressure's on.
Sorry, I'm taking too long because my brain is...
Yeah.
You're trying to work out the circumference of the Earth. I like it.
I really am trying to work this out.
This is probably not right. I'm just going to go 5,000 miles per hour.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to go with 13,000
miles
per hour.
The actual answer is 17,227 miles per hour.
No way.
Wow. You weren't too far off. It's very fast. Very fast.
Well, I think I was Alex's answer far off. So, yeah, not that.
Well, yes. But it's closest wins. Wow.
It is. Thank you for going first, Alex. Thank you for giving me the time to try to make up an unreasonable sounding answer.
I mean, I think if I didn't know this, I probably would have gone a fair bit lower. Apart from the fact that I heard how fast the SpaceX module was traveling, and it was like 15,000 miles per hour.
Should have paid attention.
Yeah, so I knew that it was quick, but I didn't know it was that quick. 17,000.
I doubted myself. I was going to go much higher, but then I was like, no, I don't want to sound ridiculous.
What were you thinking? 17,200.
No, I was thinking something like 15,000.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
But then I was like, no, that's far too quick. They're going to laugh at me.
It is quick. It's very quick. Anyway,
I doubted myself.
I was going to go for 20, but I thought it was too high, so I brought it down to 13.
I mean, both would have got the point, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, well done, Robin, and commiserations, Alex. I think I jinxed you there a little bit.
Alex, well done. Great quiz, Martin. Thank you for that.
Oh, really, no trouble.
Well
no
done,
trouble,
Alex.
Martin.
That was very... That was close. And I
you
feel,
shut
I
your
feel
mouth,
like,
Robin.
I feel bad about that. But, yeah.
I hate you.
There's some animosity going on here.
I do.
But yeah, how did everyone get on at home with that quiz? Let us know in the comments below. Be honest, as always. And I think that's it, isn't it, guys? I mean, head on over to our Patreon video, where we're discussing police brutality and you know, what the police's role should be in our society and around the world. Other than that, thank you, gentlemen, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for the quiz, Martin.
No trouble.
Yeah, thanks as always for the riveting discussion.
Yeah, thanks guys. It was great.
Awesome. Right.
Thanks for watching.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Cool.
Cool.
Amazing. Thank you.
What was that?